Just saying.
I'm going to jump down and grab something else.
Yeah.
We're on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Since the county board reconvened, I'm going to jump down in the agenda to County Service Area 4, item 10A. County Service Area 4, public comment. Is there any public comment? Seeing none. Transfer funds, Hammond Ranch. Looking to the board. Discussion, movement.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Did you second Mr. Sipalp?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Cobbsef.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Sure.
And Director Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
Adjourn as the County Service Area 4. I think I forgot to convene as County Service Area 4. Are you watching me?
See.
I think we're good.
Okay. I'm going to adjourn.
Okay.
I thought you had any of that.
Okay.
You made a provision, so.
Yep.
All right.
Self-evident.
A little rusty on this last. Item 11A, Board of Supervisors, proclamation local health emergency.
Move to extend.
Second.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
If I can address a bit on that proclamation. That's geared for, Rickteen, Community Development Director. The fires are associated with the Lava Fire, Hamel Fire, and now the River Complex. We have completed phase one for both Antelope and the Lava Fires, so the proclamation is not necessary for those two fires. However, we suggest we leave it in for the River Complex. We had DTSC scheduled to come out on the Wednesday the 10th next week. I tried to get access up there yesterday, and it's completely blown out. The roads are blown out. So we're going to need to keep that particular fire under proclamation until probably spring or summer, quite frankly.
So since I have it in front of me, maybe you can educate the rest of the board on issues with Callahan Water System as a result of the River Complex, because I think I'm probably the only one aware of what's going on.
Yeah, so I just have a high level conversation with that due to the damage from the fires. We've had a lot of recent rainfalls, landslides, and so forth that are occurred all throughout the county, quite frankly. Coffee Creek is, the damage up there is 20 miles. So I don't know. I know Brian Chanel is working with the community of Callahan to try to get some water back online with those folks. But
yeah, my understanding is as a result of the fire, and I have another small service district with over 2.5 miles of their service lines destroyed by the fire. An enormous cost related to what I consider discretionary actions on the part of tactics on that fire that have now compromised another community in my district. I'm getting a little tired of this.
Yeah. It's very evident, these fires burn so hot and heavy that all the underbrush, all the erosion cover is gone.
Yeah.
And last year we had the city of Baton impacted with similar slides from fire damage now Callahan.
Somehow the agency needs to be made aware that their reintroduction of fire has serious consequences on disadvantaged communities who don't have the financial ability to repair their infrastructure when it's compromised like this.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that, Rick. So I'll move to extend.
We already had a motion.
But
Supervisor Cox.
I guess is a question.
I think, unfortunately, I don't have the paperwork in front of me, and I don't know why, to be frank with you. It's usually in my notebook, in my pamphlet. I think you're okay extending, and then the next time we bring it back, we bring a new one, take into consideration the fact that the two fires went over there. No longer an issue.
Okay. Did you have a second?
I did. Okay. Cobbsef and Valenzuela.
Okay. I'll shut up then.
Okay. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
I'll vote aye.
Thank you. Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Let's see. The drought emergency proclamation 11B. One of the things I've asked council to maybe talk about a little bit with this drought emergency is now that we have had a significant amount of rainfall in the county, is this still necessary in that it, to me, it further justifies curtailments, and I don't want to be doing that locally if we can avoid that.
You know, I think I'm a little more cautious. I would keep it going until there is a definitive where we're looking for until next year. So it would be a yin and yang thing. I don't want to take it down just to have to put it back. You know, the state is still, I think, considered in the drought.
I don't care about the state. Yeah.
I get that, yeah. Supervisor, but I'm saying how it's going to look. You know, in my world, we view that lake is still low, although it's coming up. You know, I don't think we're out of the drought.
What I'm looking at is the curtailments in Scott Valley are going to significantly pretty much destroy the next agricultural production season. And, you know, if it's not, I guess if it's not an imminent threat, I don't want to further that by us emboldening that for someone else to stand on and continue these curtailments.
Would you like to hear from the people that are going to speak to that, and then maybe we can have that discussion?
Well, I intend to ask them the same questions.
Maybe delay it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Okay, well, we can do that. I have a public comment.
It's on the State Water Board, it looks like.
Oh, it's later. Sorry about that. You just handed it to me.
Will that be addressed with State Water Board also?
I don't know if they will. We will. We'll ask the question, and I'll bring your public comment.
You can comment on this, too, if you'd like.
May I?
Yes.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time for this. Dear board, my name is Scott Murphy. I'm from Aetna. And I really would like the State Water Board to hear as well, but...
Mr. Murphy wanted to wait until the
board. Yeah, if you want to wait, you can.
The State Board come before us later today. Yeah.
That would be fine. Yeah. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We will postpone that then.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I apologize for micromanaging. I sit over on this side, so I see that.
No, I didn't see that.
So.
Looks like I have a hand up on public comment.
Caller 9474, it is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Hello again, this is Sandra Sanito. On item 11B, both NOAA and the Farmers Almanac have stated that our storms that's coming in are going to be pushed further to the north. We may be on the fringe of the storm systems over the winter months, but we may not get any of them as the storms will push north. And this little bit of exposure that we have so far will not fill up our reservoir. As the resolution had originally been stated, this ordinance, it was to curtail any drought situations because of the decrease of water in our reservoirs. And so our reservoirs are filled to a point where we are safe to go over the summer. I ask you not to let go of this ordinance. Keep it in effect. Thank you.
Thank you. It is now 9:42, so I'm going to go back to item 7A, public health. Ms. Davis, are you online?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. So good morning, supervisors, chairman of the board, Shelley Davis, director of public health. I apologize for not being able to meet in person today. and I have a meeting I have to attend here really shortly. But I'm going to fill you in on the latest COVID stats as of November 1st, 2021. So we have 81 active cases of COVID right now. That gives Siskiyou County a total of 4,728 confirmed cases since the beginning of the pandemic. Currently, we have 5 hospitalized, 1 in the ICU, and 65 deaths that have been reported. Of those 5 that are hospitalized, 4 are on the med-surg unit, 1 is in the ICU unit, and I heard late last night, that person was discharged, so we're waiting to clarify that for sure. Things are looking better each day, as it sounds like we're trending out of the surge that we saw a couple months ago. We're still doing testing on the lawn in front of public health on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we've shown a huge decline in the last 2 weeks. Decline in people coming as well as positivities. We're testing a lot of people and very few positive results are coming from those. Where in the beginning we were seeing lots of positives. And as far as vaccination status, we have 19,478 persons are fully vaccinated in Siskiyou County. 2,959 still are only partially vaccinated. And we have administered 42,926 total doses of vaccine in the county. So that gives us percentage rates of the North County seeing around 41% of being vaccinated, the South County 53%, the East is at 44%, and the West is at 35%. And the latest news in public health that I have to report is that we're ramping up our flu vaccination efforts. We do have an evening flu clinic happening this week, so we'll be seeing more of the public coming into that. And we're also working towards getting a standalone vaccination clinic, and hopefully we'll have that up and running by December 1st. That's all I have to report. Any questions?
Questions from the board? I don't think so. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
I just noticed the positivity rates are dropping pretty early, which is, to me, is an indicator where the trend is going.
Yeah. Okay. 6D, County Clerk. Appointments in lieu of.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura.
Laura Bynum, County Clerk. Before you this morning to do the appointments in lieu of election for the special districts that did not have enough candidates to qualify to go to election today. In the packet, I've outlined those candidates that filed their paperwork, but there are still positions where the incumbent failed to file during the candidate filing. So we'll just take them, we want to take them one by one, or as a group, or whatever the board chooses.
The first one is Hornbrook Community Service District. Move to approve John Moody.
Second.
And that was Moody, thank you. Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye. Next is Butte Valley Fire Protection District. Is there a candidate identified?
There were no candidates for that position. The incumbent is Patricia Kaka Williams, and we did not receive any indication if she was willing to serve again.
They do have a quorum, don't they, with the 2 other members?
Butte Valley Fire is a 5-member, as a 3-member group, I believe.
Okay.
So we can continue this to next week until we, if you want to reach out to Ms. Williams.
Kopko Lake Fire Protection District.
So Kopko Lake Fire Protection District, we did have 3 people file papers, so those people listed should be appointed in the election.
So moved to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
And Supervisor Help.
Aye. And then on the short-term positions, are you going to continue those?
Those were vacant prior to candidate filing, but we can continue them as well. And Supervisor Chris can identify 2 people interested. But yeah, we can continue it to next week.
It's one of those things, I'm glad we have 3.
Yeah.
Dunsmuir Fire Protection.
So Dunsmuir Fire Protection District, the incumbents, Shirley May, I'm the pronunciation, and Wallace Carter reached out to Supervisor Valenzuela in hating interest.
And I'll make a recommended motion to appoint those two.
Second.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Excuse me, Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And Supervisor Help?
Aye. Gazelle Fire Protection District.
Gazelle Fire, we had no candidates for that position, and the current incumbents are Kelly Brown and Elizabeth Nielsen, which we have not heard any interest.
Are you showing interest over there?
Yes.
So I would nominate Elizabeth Nielsen.
Second.
Okay.
And continue the other one until next week.
Sure.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
No, Ms. Nielsen's really got to check that part of her contract where it says all of the duties are assigned.
There's no pay extra on that.
Well, I rescind my.
Yeah, I would.
Grenada Fire Protection District.
So Grenada Fire is similar, no candidates, but the current incumbents are Sonia Burley, Charles Cash, and William Nicoletti, who we have not heard any interest.
So we'll continue.
The same with Hornbrook Fire, no candidates, and the current incumbents, Sherry Thurner and Tim Thurner, we did not hear any interest. Scott Valley Fire Protection District, we did have two candidates, Kathleen M. Williams and Larry R. Alexander, who shall be appointed in the election.
Move to appoint both.
Second.
Oops, hang on. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, Grenada Sanitation District, two positions, current incumbents, Kenneth Keyes and a vacant. Did not run for candidacy and have not expressed an interest.
Continue.
Okay. Happy Camp Sanitation District, we had Gary Hahn and Robert Ronsey, who did file papers and shall be appointed in the election.
Move to reappoint Mr. Hahn and Bob Ronsey.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Okay, the next is Callahan Water District, two positions, the current incumbent, Richard Palmer, and there's also a vacant position, did not file candidacy papers, and I have not heard if they're interested. But I believe Callahan Water is one of those where they're already at three members, so if they don't have an appointment, it may throw them below a
One director passed away last year.
I think that is one of the current vacant positions,
okay.
I think.
So we don't, I guess we don't, we need to continue there.
We do need to make an appointment so that they don't fall below a quorum, right. But we can continue it to next week if they don't take office till the first Friday in December.
That's fine.
Okay. And then for Sawyer's Bar Water District, we have Paul, I'm going to butcher his name, I know, Lakasaki, and then Fred Amke, who have reached out to you to express an interest.
Yeah. Okay. Move to point. So.
And was that Kobzeff? Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. And they're there for item 7C.
Okay. So this is an amendment to our fee schedule to implement changes from the state of California regarding charges for certified copies of marriage licenses. So this is to reflect that change effective January 1st.
Move to approve.
Second.
And we can do, I believe, a second reading on December 7th, and that'll give us time to publish twice because it is a fee ordinance.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you. 12-7. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Council, you ready for item D?
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. My name is Bill Carroll. I'm the Deputy County Counsel. This item is a continuation from our last meeting regarding hearing protests for liens on properties. We have one protest. missed a few repair, and it was continued, so the staff could look into further, you know, information regarding service of the citation. As you may recall, as summarized in my memo, I believe essentially she stated that she did not get the notice. Her neighbor received it in the mail and never gave it to her. We went back and looked at our records, and as can be seen in the package handed out, we did get a return receipt indicating it was received by a T. Hare, Tulip Hare, I would interpret that as. And while it was not signed, apparently during COVID times, postal carriers are simply asking for the person's name who they're about to give the letter to, and the postal carrier is writing it in the name themselves in accordance with postal policy, and then there's no signature of the person. We also have a USPS tracking log that shows that the envelope was delivered at the address it was mailed to, and that the post office, our local post office, did state, and the card and the return receipt certainly indicates that if it had been delivered to a different address, the post person would have delivered it to the, would have indicated on the return receipt they went to the different address. So it appears from the paper we have that the letter was delivered to Tulip Hare in accordance with U.S. post office procedures. So that is what we looked into, and you know, otherwise, based on the paperwork, it looks like it was received. But I see Ms. Hare is here today, and I know her counsel is on the audio. I think that's about all I have, unless you need to add anything.
Do any of the parties wish to speak under public comment? I see one hand raised.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes. Hi, good morning. This is attorney James Roslyn Lawrence. I'm the attorney for Ms. Tulip Hare. She is present in person in the boardroom. I just wanted to respond briefly to the points made. I've seen the receipt that was posted indicating delivery by certified mail. Notably, Ms. Hare indicates she never saw this receipt. She never received the document when it was purported to be delivered. There's a signature block on the certified receipt form, but there's no signature there. We confirmed last time with her that another individual who lives in the building had apparently taken possession of the letter. This individual was handicapped. She's unable to speak very well herself. Her English is limited, and I don't believe that this evidence of the certified mail really changes anything that was discussed last time. But the fact is that Ms. Hare did not receive this notice in time to lodge any appeal. And the first time she found out about it was in September. She did not live on the property at issue. There's no indication she had any personal knowledge of the violations. And I believe that while the certified mail receipt may perhaps create some presumption that it was delivered to Ms. Hare, we've rebutted that presumption here. We've presented testimony and an explanation that she did not receive it. And our request, which I believe is very reasonable, is just to give her an opportunity to respond to these allegations, to correct the deficiencies. As a person who was leasing the property to others, that she wasn't the one who committed these violations. And given the context here, I believe that would be the appropriate course of action. If the board would like to hear testimony from the person who actually received the letter and gave it to Ms. Hare several weeks later, we would request one more continuance to be able to present that witness. But I think it would be in the interest of due process and fairness to just give Ms. Hare an opportunity to respond to these allegations and to correct the deficiencies. It's not fair to impose tens of thousands of dollars fine on somebody without giving them any meaningful notice or opportunity to be heard. Thank you.
Discussion on the board. Questions?
trying to recall all that transpired in the last deal, because there was a batch of them that we did approve for liens, right?
Yes.
And I think the only discrepancy here, which we allowed to, so we did, you know, that we're trying to go above and beyond, make sure we crossing the T and dotting the I, is that we did everything that we were legally responsible to do, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay.
So given that the paper that was served as a date of in April of this last year, has there been any attempt to remedy the infractions on the property since?
We do have present Mr. John Ottenberg, who was the person who issued the citation. We have not, code enforcement has not been back out.
And what I'm trying to establish is notice or not, whether or not there was any response. Because they're claiming that they were not notified, but certainly by now they're well aware of the infractions.
Sure. I think one of the issues for me is that it would be different if this was just an isolated case. But knowing that area, knowing what we're going through, knowing the publicity that this is getting in Fresno and down in the Central Valley, because I was getting a lot of calls from these places, that community would have, that everyone would have known. That's how I look at this. Again, if it was just one isolated spot in wherever in Siskiyou County, then I have a little, you know, a little more sympathy, if you will. I can't justify changing the rules when we have such a big issue out there. That's where I'm at with this.
Mr. Chair, I think at this proceeding, the board ought to be looking at just the issue of whether or not it believes, by a preponderance of the evidence, that Ms. Herr was served. Not looking at the issue of whether the infractions have been since cleaned up, except to the extent that you think that plays into whether she received notice. And so I would urge the board to look at simply that narrow issue with what you think by preponderance of the evidence that she received notice. Because we're not really supposed to be relitigating the underlying proceeding at this point.
That was not my intent.
I didn't say it was. I just wanted to clarify what role you're serving in this proceeding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Kiernan, or Mr. Carroll. Sorry. Thanks. So I've read other county codes, you know, other counties in California, and our codes are in line with that in regards to notices.
Pretty much, as far as I know, it's pretty standard, Joe.
And
post and mail.
It can be argued that we've met our standard for notification for county code, and that same standard is applied by many counties throughout California.
Yes, I mean, I do understand the other side is saying they didn't receive it, and you know, you can certainly take into a measure whatever credibility you feel or don't feel versus the paperwork and paper trail that we have. Our legal procedures, setting aside the individual facts of the case, are pretty standard for the state.
Right. And we met those standards.
Well, according to as staff I'm presenting, I believe we have paperwork that comports with service on her with return receipt with her name. You've heard the other side dispute it, so it's really, I think, for the board to weigh those things.
Thank you.
Through the chair. I think the extension or this continuation was just to establish essentially what you've provided today.
Yes.
Just as the benefit of the doubt, and it's been supplied.
Okay.
And if I could add one other thing, which is I'm not understanding having giving a continuance. We have not, if there's in fact somebody who was going to testify through some method, either orally or through declaration, that she took the notice on behalf of Ms. Herr, why that hasn't yet been presented. There was ample notice that this was the other side had every opportunity to do that, both at the original hearing and at this continued hearing, and I think it's relevant that they have yet to provide that evidence directly.
Okay.
Comment online.
I'm going back online here. I believe the attorney.
Yes, thank you. Just in response to the last comments, I just wanted to indicate that Ms. Herr actually has a video recording, apparently, of the person who received the letter, who which apparently corroborates Ms. Herr's story. She's prepared to play that video. I would just suggest also if the board would be willing to just give us a little bit of time during this meeting to attempt to get her on the phone if the board believe that would be relevant to hear from the woman who directly received the letter. But we have a video that we could play now that we believe corroborates Ms. Herr's story, if the board is interested. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm satisfied. Actually, looking through the record, the evidence of delivery is greater than the state afforded our citizens recently with the curtailment orders, threatening $10,000 fines, which you didn't have to be present for when the papers were served through certified mail. So, looking for action from the board.
I would so move to Zach reading. I would so move with the findings.
Is that to adopt a resolution approving, modifying, or discharging the proposed lien? That's what they're asking for in the worksheet.
The worksheet here? There is a resolution attached particular to this to a pair, yes. Since the previous resolution approved everybody else except for her, we have a new resolution.
I would so move for that resolution approved.
And is that to approve the proposed lien?
Approved.
Thank you.
Approved.
Give me just a sec.
Second.
Motion and a second.
There we go. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsep.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
Next item is item 7E, community development.
This was to be presented by council. We just stepped outside.
Okay. Do you want me to delay it?
I can take it.
Okay.
Routine community development director. This is regarding the ordinance associated with abatement procedures with code enforcement on illegal cannabis. Essentially is changing the verbiage slightly. Can refer to your paperwork. Primary note here is responsible party property owner abating unlawful marijuana cultivation hereunder shall notify the code enforcement officer upon completion of abatement and shall provide evidence that the unlawful marijuana cultivation has been lawfully disposed of. The evidence of abatement may include, but is not limited to, leaving out cut plants in place as directed by the code enforcement officer so as to allow inspection of the cuttings by the enforcement officer prior to disposal or relocation of the cuttings. Prior to this change, there was an option for plants to be taken off-site to a permitted facility. Siskiyou County does not have permitted facilities. And we were having difficulty with that particular instance. So council has drafted this new ordinance and also associated with it a fine of either $5,000 if there are greater than 50 plants on site or $3,000 if they do not abate properly.
Okay. Discussion? Questions?
Why 50? Why, how did that number 50 come up?
It was a number that was arrived at between council and code enforcement.
But we only allow 12.
Right, so it's less egregious. It's less egregious, basically. So we have two tiers. Above 50, it's $5,000 fine. Below 50, it's $3,000 fine.
No, I don't know. Where I'm struggling is if 12 is all we allow, why it wouldn't be just 12 and above, it's $5,000.
Could well do that.
Or 13, whatever.
You know, it's just severity. Do you go on 120 or do you want 85? Basically, scenario.
I don't know. I just see it as we've heard the 99 plant story for so long. Now we'll have a 50 plant story. So I'm at 12 for anything above 12 plants would be my preference.
Okay.
I guess, to me, a crime's a crime. It's like you go stab somebody once or twice. I mean,
yeah. I see it as an inevitable pushing opportunity. You know, okay, now you know it's 12.
Yeah.
Oh no, if I can go to the X, I can not going to get fined.
I guess what I'm wrestling too is the fact that now we're into refuting whether or not I had 50 plants or 49, and did you count correctly? So.
12 is a pretty straightforward number in my book. I think that's where I'm going to land because, I think what we do is we're building in loopholes.
We're building in more cases than justified.
Right.
So, I guess we need to bring that back.
Can we modify that today, the language on that, council?
I'm looking at this. I don't know the individual in my office who worked on this. Am I correct in thinking that one place it's the number of plants it's mentioned is section, basically top of page 2. To me, it looks like that's the only place it's mentioned.
Correct.
Okay, so if the board were so inclined, you could do a motion to amend the ordinance, this is the first reading, so that the sentence in question would read, failure of the responsible party or property owner to provide evidence of abatement in the method directed by the enforcing officer shall be subject to a fine of $5,000, parentheses $5,000, close parentheses, for cultivations in size of 13 cannabis plants or more, period.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I'll make that motion. Amendment or just with that motion with what you just read?
You can either make a motion to pass it with that amendment or first,
yes.
Just if that's what you
want. Yeah, that's okay. My motion.
Okay. And we need to schedule a second reading?
Yes, we can also do this on December 7th. We won't have time on the 9th because we have to publish the notice of public hearing. Mm-hmm. But we can do it on 12/7.
The motion?
Okay. That part of your motion? Debate?
Yes.
12/7 for the second reading? Okay. And did we have any public? Did we need to do any of that?
Okay. Any public comments on this item? Seeing none. Wendy?
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And Supervisor Held?
Aye.
Thank you.
It'll take 5 minutes.
Thank you.